Let's get this party started,
yes,
fellas.
Yes, sir. Let's do it. Drop it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Crank it up. Let's get crunk.
I was just waiting to take you in to kick in. Y'all ready? Hold on. Y'all ready?
Come on, Dre, man. Drop the beat, man.
Hold on. I'm making sure. Are y'all ready?
I'm the only person here who watched the match last night. Yes, I'm ready.
Here we go. Oh yeah. You know what that sound is? Welcome.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise, well, time is now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Time is now. That's right. You know what that sound is. It is officially kickoff time for Talking Sports with the 12th man. We are ready to go. Got my fellows in the house. We are ready to start. As you didn't know, I'm Andre, a.k.a. DJ Dre 1800. I just had to throw that in there. And some guys I wouldn't trade for anything, even though a lot of things happen. And I may trade Rob, but I guess he's still cool. But anyway, let's kick it off. Today's
day. I'll put you on the block.
July the 28th.
That's pretty cool right there,
Paul. I'm just saying, making sure you guys are ready to go. Joined by my guys once again, JQ, Jaquan Jenkins, as well as Robert Ford. And first and foremost, JQ, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm lovely, man. Like I told you before, I watched that Cena match last night. He broke his nose and he still won. That was crazy. Then we came into the scene. I'm ready to talk.
He's ready to go. Mr. Robert Ford, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Ready to get this party started.
Let's have some fun, as always. I got a lot of things to talk about. As always, we want to kind of set the stage here. If you want to call into the show, reach out to us. Show us love on Twitter and social media. Number to call the show, 424-243-9519. That's that show call-in number. We're also available on Twitter. If you go to the number at 12, T-H-M-A-N Sports, we're in that world. And then finally, we are on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsports with 12 men, you will find us in that instance. So, as mentioned, gentlemen, we have a lot to jump into. Training camp football is right around the corner. And we're going to talk about some trades that's happening in baseball. But let's kick it off, man. And first and foremost, if
man,
you're not sick about the flight gate, I know, man, I know. NFL upholds the Tom Brady suspension. Word on the street, JQ, is that Tom Brady got rid of his phone. He destroyed it somehow. But, you know, maybe it's because of pictures of Giselle. I don't know. But anyway, what's your thoughts about
man,
this?
Man, listen, probably
is
so.
Is it the pressure? Yeah, is it the pressure or kind of what's happened? What do you think about this? I'm going to kick it off with you first and foremost, Rob. Stay tuned, sir. What about this? Is this this is what we expected from here, or is this kind of pressure from Roger Goodell? Date to the queue. You're on.
Oh, I thought you were going to Rob. Yeah, I'm here.
You're starting off,
sir.
Rob. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I said Rob. Stay tuned. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I misheard you. But I don't think there's anything that different. If you listened last week, I said the same thing. I think he had to uphold it just to, you know, kind of appease everybody because the NFLPA still has a way to, you know, try to appeal it. So, and I think that's what he wants. So he'll let the courts, you know, take it down for four games if they do it, but he's not going to do it. He had to save face. Like, he doesn't have a lot of credibility left. So he can't come out here with a four-game suspension and then, you know, put it to a foul and take the game to where in one game, you know, it'll be an uproar with all the other owners and the fans. I just don't think he could risk that.
Yeah. Rob Ford, I know you're Roger Goodell's favorite number one fan here, so what do you think about this, sir?
Well, obviously, Roger Goodell, you know, has a huge ego, of course. So, I mean, this was very predictable. We didn't expect him to come down from this four-game suspension. Obviously, there was some negotiations and talk about reducing it down to two games if Tom Brady was willing to throw his equipment managers and people under the bus, as well as come out and apologize, which Tom Brady refused to do both. And so that was one of the reasons why the suspension was upheld at four games, where the NFL, once again, you know, had some negotiations that were taking place about reducing it down to two. And there were a lot of speculators that believed it was going to come down to two, but Tom Brady, once again, refused to apologize. He didn't think he did anything wrong. and he refused to throw his equipment managers under the bus. And so there you have it. The suspension stands at 4 games. We expect the players' union to press forward with a lawsuit against the NFL. So I expect that to be taking place any day to appeal this. And the NFL is already going to court in New York City, asking a judge to upheld the 4-game suspension. So this is not over yet. There's going to be some legal battling going on here in the next month. And we may not even have a decision by week one here. So he may still be playing week one while this is taking place. So we have to wait and stay tuned how the legal process. We all know how the situation went with the Saints players a few years ago. And that battle went on all the way into the end of the season. And the players never did have to serve a suspension at all. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, there's a lot of legal stuff that's still going to be taking place from here on out.
Man, that Tom Brady is one stand-up guy, man. He's not throwing his guys underneath the bus, man. He's
a cool
guy, man.
but here's my thing about that story. So you mean to tell me the fans and the other owners don't want the head of the equipment manager and the ball boy? They want Tom Brady. So if Tom Brady even accepts that deal and you put it down to 2 games, can you imagine the backlash that would have had? 2 games, mm-hmm. and he's admitted to doing wrong? I mean, that's mm-hmm. at least started for even with him coming out to agree to say, I'm going to throw them under the bus. The suspension has to start at 4 games. You're going to tell me you know about it and you know that they did it and you're going to take it down to 2 games? They should be glad that he didn't turn that down, because people would have been more mad at that.
Well, I think also from Tom Brady's standpoint, I think he played his cards right here as well by not agreeing to apologize, especially if I think from his standpoint, I think he played his cards correctly here as well. You know, it makes him have a chance to not have to be suspended any games as well. So I think he also, along with his legal representation, they played their cards correct in the situation as well.
Well, real fast, Rob, I don't know about that, because like Dre said, he destroyed the phone on that day or the day after when they asked to see his phone, and they were going to let him preview the phone before he turned it over, and you still destroy it. He's lost in the court of public appeal. I think he's going to get at least a game. There's no way they can let him off with none. Once he destroyed the phone, it was over. Once that came out, it was over. He's got at least a game from anybody. Once he destroyed the phone, it was over. He might have gotten away from it.
We shall see. And I think, I'm not the biggest Roger Goodell supporter, and I'm not one who believes everything that he says either. And so I think a lot of this still has to play itself out. And right now you're still only hearing one side of the story here. And I'm not a Patriots fan or Tom Brady fan or a big Tom Brady fan either, but I'm also not a big Roger Goodell fan here either. And so I think you should have to wait till the legal system play itself out here. And he may very well serve 1 game. But I just know from what happened with the Saints players a few years ago, I mean, this legal system went on and on and on and on. And the players, got off. Of course, there was no talk about players, destroying cell phones in that particular situation. So, so we'll see what happens with this situation.
And no, I'm not saying he's the biggest fan. I'm just pointing out the fact that happened today, it's done. I feel like if he had not destroyed that cell phone, he would have already put out a statement. The fact that he has not put out a statement after they put this out, and we've had hours now, I'm shocked. I'm not shocked, but I am, because that means that to me is another admission of guilt, that he hasn't come back. Like, what are you talking about? Like, immediately.
Like I said, man.
Very well the case, but you got to also keep in mind, too, anytime you're dealing with a legal situation, most times lawyers want you to be quiet, until the stuff plays itself out in court. They don't want things to be used against you in court as well. And so you have to keep that in mind as well.
Not if you destroy that phone, they won't say that. They'll come straight out and say, I got the phone right here. Destroy the phone.
Gosh. The evidence is there, and as Rob said, we'll kind of keep an eye and see how that definitely plays out. Speaking of suspensions that have been reduced, the NFL actually reduces Le'Veon Bell's suspension from 3 games to 2. Rob, any news about this or kind of what happened on this particular front, sir?
Pretty much the same thing. This was the same kind of deal they were trying to work with Tom Brady. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell, he took the deal as opposed to fighting it in court. And so, you know, he was able to get his suspension reduced. You know, he cooperated with the NFL in this situation, so the NFL was willing to reduce the suspension. So the negotiations went fine between he and the National Football League. So this is one of those situations where, you know, things were cooperative between both parties, and the NFL went ahead and reduced his suspension as opposed to battling out in court.
Anthony, you want to piggyback on that, JQ?
Yeah, but, you know, 14 games, 13 games. I mean, he's still going to play the majority of the games. This is nothing compared to other things. The thing I want to talk about is he now a first-round fantasy draft pick because he's only going to miss two games. That's what I want to know. Because he put up big numbers last year, you know. So, but you're only getting 14 games out of him, and you still got to do the bye week. Is he still a first-round pick? Because 13 in the two games, the only person that affects is his paycheck for the one game. Let's be honest.
Well,
that's all. Really,
I know we're going to be all competing against each other in fantasy football, so, you know, I hate to give my hand away, but I'm going to say that's, I wouldn't draft him in the first round knowing he's going to miss two games. But that's just me. You know, somebody else may, but I wouldn't. I'm going to bank hoping that my first round pick is going to be available 16 games. So I think you got to give him a slight downgrade.
I feel the same way. I just wanted to see where you was at.
Yeah, I would. I don't know if Andre want to show his hand here too, since we're all showing our hand a little bit. But you know, we could also be giving smokes and mirrors too.
Yeah, this is like GMs on draft day. What? We will keep that for sure, as well as that too. I know what you guys.
You see, you don't
want
to comment on JQ. You see that?
Yeah. I saw that. I saw that he didn't say nothing about it. He was like, "Yeah, stop playing. On to the next topic."
I'm just keeping the show moving. We got a lot of topics to discuss, fellas. Hey, let's have this night going. Let's talk about this. We'll come back to that. The Jets, Muhammad Wilkerson will report to camp despite a contract dispute. Rob, is this a good move, bad move? What are your thoughts about this, sir?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, if it's you know, I think, as you see, most of the time these contracts typically work themselves out. So obviously, if you don't want to get far, but I mean, he's taking a slight risk as far as injuries are concerned. And but most of the time these contracts do work themselves out, and these players and teams come to an agreement here. So I think he's doing an admirable thing, but I think it is a slight gamble when you talk about injuries is concerned. Hopefully he doesn't get injured, but he's a heck of a defensive tackle. I mean, you know, he's one of the best pass rushing D tackles in the league, as well as playing against the run. And you got a chance to pair him with Leonard Williams. Man, that could be a terror defense that Todd Bowles is going to have with the Jets. And if he's got the cornerbacks, if you look at his defense in Arizona, he led the league in blitzing last year, and he left his corners out there on the island. So as long as he's got those corners that can do that, he's going to have some blitz-heavy packages. And these guys can also, once again, pass rush the quarterback, Leonard Williams, as well as Wilkerson, as well as play the run. So, I mean, I look for them to have a really good defense. And maybe he wants to get in and learn Todd Bowles' system. Maybe he doesn't want to get behind. And that could be a reason why he's reporting to camp.
JQ?
Well, they have the cornerbacks because they got Cromartie and they got Revis. So they've answered that question. But the other piece of it is, and also they have Calvin Pace out there on that front seven, who's a monster. The IDP fantasy. Only I know. So, but when they drafted Leonard Williams and they already had the depth across the defensive line, and he's making $7 million a year, and Russell Wilson's making like $1.2 or $2 million, he has to play. Like, he's not playing for peanuts. And, you know, you can go ahead and do what you want to do, but we drafted Leonard Williams at number five, so, you know, we'll just work him heavy more in the
competition.
So
competition, yeah.
Exactly. And you're making $7 million a year, so nobody's going to cry for you when you're making 6.7. You know, so, you know, come to camp, play. And the thing about it is, if you ball out, you're looking to get not a Sue deal, but maybe like a step below a Sue deal on the open market from the Jets. Not from the Jets, but from somebody else. So, but you're still planning to show and prove, but you're planning to show and prove on a $7 million contract in a defensive happy system with a lot of good players around you and good corners. I mean, you got to play. You got to.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady suspended.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is a situation, guys, where it's just one of the things you nailed it right on the head, JQ, in that, you know, the Jets, man, you talk about getting, like, the fact that Leonard Williams dropped, that's a great – that was amazing, too. So now you get the stud D-tackle D-end. And then, you know, like you said, you nailed it right on the head, too, as far as, you know, Wilkerson, he has to come in most likely and definitely to say, hey, you know, hey, Rook, you know, you think you could come in here, I'm actually going to – I mean, I don't think there's any type of situation like that, but he's going to come in. He's going to kind of definitely show that he's worth that too. So, you know, he's going to make some competition. So I think that's probably why he's reporting. But he can definitely kind of show his value and hopefully he'll get that contract resolved. And then, like you said, if you're the Jets, this may be an interesting situation too, because are they going to replace Muhammad at this time, you know, or you know, it's kind of one of those interesting scenarios. I definitely want to keep an eye on that as it actually goes on too. So, you know, but like you said, no one's crying about the Jets, man. No one's crying for the Jets. No one's crying about the Jets, man, you know, unless your name is Geno Smith. But whole other conversation right there.
It's going to be interesting. Todd Bowles, if you really study his defense in Arizona, I mean, they led the league in blitzing last year in Arizona. So it's going to be real interesting he's bringing that same. I'm sure he's going to have a similar scheme, a very aggressive scheme. I mean, he blitzed from every corner. He blitzed linebackers. He blitzed safeties. He blitzed corners. He led the league in blitzing. So, man, it's going to be a real interesting, aggressive defensive scheme he's going to bring to the Jets. I think they're going to be a very good defensive team this year.
Yep.
You know, what kind of team they're going to have on offense, that's, you know, I'm still not sold on Geno Smith, but they're going to have to win with defense. They're going to have to win with the defensive side of ball if they're going to have any chance of winning this year.
You don't have a Geno Smith poster, Robert? I thought you had a Geno Smith poster somewhere.
No, man. Remember, I sold it to you for 99 cents.
in that blue West Virginia.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, man. All right, guys. Let's talk about the next topic here, and that the Dolphins actually re-signed Josh Freeman after releasing him. What is up with that? JQ, I'm going to kick it off with you. What are your thoughts on this particular scenario, man? Money move, what's the thoughts about this?
He's just a training camp arm. You don't want to wear your starter out. You want to get him some reps. And then they say he was so far behind Matt Moore, the number two, that's why they released him. And then realized, oh, we probably need him just to throw. So so we don't wear out our quarterback. We're just, you know, we ain't gonna wear him out. So we just put Josh out there and let him take up those late afternoon reps, where everybody else, you know, gets a Gatorade and chills out. So once training camp is over, I think he's done. I mean, it's a long fall from that Michael Jackson cover with ESPN. I mean, he was good at Tampa, and then he's just falling off the cliff. You know what I mean? It's sad.
Yeah, guys, it's pretty sad. I mean, I know he's been out of the league for a couple of years here. I know he's been trying to make a comeback, well, since last year, actually. But anyway, I think the general manager was part of the front office in Tampa that drafted him, you know, that's now the Dolphins, you know. So, like you said, man, I think it's just a move, like you said, maybe to get some worms in and whatnot too. But, Rob, you want to have any comments about this, sir?
I pretty much agree with JQ said here. I mean, this is just a training camp situation. Somebody to take up snaps in training camp, and I still don't expect him to make the roster. And you're right, this guy was a first-round pick, 17th overall. He's going to have at least a 10 to 12-year career. I mean, you know, I don't know if you ever expect him to be great, but you expect him to have a solid NFL career. But he's really fallen off, you know, shockingly with that size and arm strength. And he just never really put it all together. And, you know, 17th pick overall, first-round pick, you expect him to have a much better career than he's having. So I would be shocked if he's on any NFL roster come opening day.
Off the wall. Was it off the wall? Is that album?
Yeah, there you the go. He got that off the wall hairdo.
Man, he had that off the wall, and he ain't been nothing since then, dog. I'm just going to put it out there.
He never got the thrill. No.
he only had one album. That was it. Rob, let's talk about I love it, guys. Let's talk about five NFL players whose numbers will actually drop this season, Rob. So I'm sure you've got your handy-dandy list available. So go ahead and shoot it off, and we'll kind of comment from there, sir.
I'm going to start off with, you know, I know we talked about him a lot on last week, but DeMarco Murray, I think his numbers are going to drop off this year with the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't expect him to have the same kind of numbers he put up with that Dallas Cowboys offensive line. I expect his numbers to drop. Julius Thomas, leaving Denver, going to Jacksonville, going away from Peyton Manning. And so, I mean, I think, you know, for our fantasy listeners, you know, I don't expect Julius Thomas to put up those kind of numbers that he's put up with Denver, you know, being in Jacksonville. So I think you're going to see some decrease in production with him as well. Kaepernick, a guy we talked about on last week. We talked about make-or-break season. I think his numbers are going to go down this season. I think, you know, 49ers have lost some talent as well. I think they're going to be a little bit weaker on O-line as well. I expect his numbers. And one that I hate to say, but I think his numbers are going to go slightly down, is Drew Brees. And I think Saints are going to go more to a running game this season. You know, more ball control. This coming season, I mean, last year's numbers were 4,933 TDs, and those were slightly down for Drew Brees. I expect him to be somewhere around 4,500, and maybe still somewhere around 28 to 30 TDs. So I think he'll still have another go down slightly again this coming season. And one surprisingly here, I think numbers are going to slightly go down. It's just because I think a lot of teams are going to be more focused on him this season is Odell Beckham Jr. I think he'll still have a heck of a season, and I still think he'll have, you know, somewhere around 1,100 yards, still have a great season. But I think you'll see more defenses focusing on him, especially, and I don't expect Victor Cruz to be healthy by week one.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
Nice.
All right. Good call, JQ, man. It's on you, sir.
Okay, so I have Murray and Brees as well. I'm going to go with Peyton Manning for the, a part of the same reason for Drew Brees. I feel like they want to preserve him, and they're going to run the ball more. And I think you're going to see more of Monte and C.H. Anderson carrying the load a little bit more, and you lost Julius Thomas like you hit on before, which is a good call.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to do a little bit more run-based than passing, but since it's Peyton, he can buy a couple more runs because you always have to prepare for him to throw the ball. I'm going to take a cheap way out with Le'Veon Bell. He had a great season last year, but he's still suspended for 14 games, so he can't post those same numbers. If he does, I mean, that is balling out of control, and he'll make us look bad for not putting him in the first round. But, you know, 14 games is not 16, so I'm going to have him take a step back. And another one is Justin Houston. He signed a big contract with Kansas City, but he had 22 sacks last year, and I just don't think he can keep that production up again this coming year. So I'm going to take him as well. Since he took two of mine, I'm going to go with Shady in Buffalo. Having to compete with Fred Jackson with Frank Brown in that Buffalo backfield, he's not going to have the same number of yards. I don't think he will. And my last one is going to be a little bit controversial as well, but I'm going to say Marshawn Lynch. I think that Russell Wilson is out to show and prove that he is worth $25 million a year, and you don't do that by just handing the ball off. So in the numbers game of run the pass, I'm going to say Marshawn Lynch takes the dip in numbers because I think Russell Wilson is going to try to make up for it with his arm and legs. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, that's a good call on Marshawn Lynch as well. I tell you another thing, Marshawn Lynch, you got to think about the load he's been carrying the last few years too. You got to think at some point he's going to start to wear and tear you a little bit. He's been getting a lot of carries, a lot of wear and tear. You have to start to believe at some point, and it could be this coming season, where you start to see that start to finally take a load on them this coming season.
Mm-hmm.
I like it, fellas. That's good. I mean, you know, I'm a mix up man. I like all the picks. I agree with you, JQ, with Peyton Manning. I think he's going to drop some. I think they're definitely going to emphasize running. And because of that, I think it's definitely going to definitely impact Demaryius Thomas too, man. I mean, I think that's going to happen. So he's going to drop too. I think it's kind of like a combo thing as well.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I'm also going to jump on the bandwagon with you. Like, you want to stop commenting on that, JQ? I'm sorry. I didn't want to cut you off, sir.
No. I was saying, no, you're right. The combo deal.
Cool. Then I'm also going to – I agree with you, Rob, as far as DeMarco Murray. Yeah, man. I mean, the fact is he was a workhorse last year. So now he's going to go into a situation where I think it's more of a running back by committee. So I think he's going to definitely lessen his load. So that's going to help him with that. That may be a good thing. Maybe that's going to prolong his career a little bit more. I mean, I don't know, because they always say that if you have that huge season, then it kind of like talks about you going into next season too. But hopefully, you know, Chip Kelly actually does have a better idea on his Chip Kelly has a better idea on his mind and says, okay, we're going to kind of like have that running back by committee. I mean, like I said, you know, the Drew Breeses of the world, I mean, you know, like I said, that's probably going to happen. I mean, I could say the same thing about Matt Ryan. He threw so much last year, probably going to focus more on running. So, you know, maybe those numbers may be adjusted, if you will. So, I mean, that's kind of one of the kind of one that goes in the wash. You know, another guy, I'm kind of curious about this too. You know, Dez Bryant, I don't know what your thoughts about that. I mean, this guy, he got paid, you know, obviously a big deal. But I do wonder as far as, you know, who's going to replace you know, DeMarco, and you know, if that means that they're going to lean more on Romo, that means Romo can make more mistakes. I don't know if that's going to affect Dez. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of curious about that too, guys. So
think about,
you know,
it the other way around, though.
Yeah.
Think about it the other way around, though. You have less DeMarco Murray, but what if Romo doesn't make mistakes? Who is he going to throw the ball to more often than not? It's going to be Dez.
Yeah.
So
I
would say
force
Dez,
it.
I would say that Dez might have a better year, but Dez can go get the ball. So I'm going to say Dez has a better year because of what's going to happen, because I'm not being able to run the ball the same.
It could be, but like, so they could like double, triple team him, because I mean, I don't know who else the Cowboys have as wide receiver though. So, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know. And then, you know, obviously Jason Witten's getting older too. So, I mean, I don't know. But like I said, it could be flipped anyway too. Marshawn's a good call. Like you said, you know, great, great stuff as well, guys. All right, 3 minutes and 40-something seconds here. We have been talking all NFL. Let's kind of kick a little bit to some baseball as well, and we'll kind of keep maybe the OT portion for some NBA here as well. But a lot of trades have been going on, and we'll kind of kick it off too. There's kind of like almost like a battle between the Nationals and the Mets right about now. The Nationals acquire Phillies closer Jonathan Papelbon. Seems like, guys, the Phillies are on a fire sale here. And I guess, are the Nationals going to be able to hold off the Mets with this move? It seems like they're kind of going back and forth. JQ, what do you think about this, sir?
I don't think this is the move to hold off the Mets. I think this is a move to say that we can get past the Mets and win the division. The Mets might not make the playoffs, and we have to face somebody else where we need a better closer. And that's not to disparage the Mets. But the Mets have it because they have an awesome rotation. But they're batting or does not, you know, if David Wright doesn't come back and go gangbusters, who scares you really right now? Outside of maybe Granderson at the top of the lineup, but they need a bat. And it goes to the other point we were going to talk about. Not getting too low is of a bat for them. That hurts them. That's what I'm saying. I don't necessarily know if this is about the Mets because I don't think that they needed to beat the Mets because the Mets can't score enough runs right now, I don't think, in a 7-game set with the Nationals to beat them.
Beat the Mets. All right, Rob, you got 14 seconds for the OT, and guide your thoughts.
Hey, you know, it's funny, but in regards to the Mets, I mean, their fans are extremely upset that they didn't acquire him, and that the Blue Jays did. I mean, the Mets were telling their fans that the Rockies didn't want to part ways with them, but the Blue Jays took no for an answer. And so now the Mets fans are extremely upset about this move that the Blue Jays was able to acquire him and that the Mets were not. They helped them out in their batting order and as well as on defense. And so, I mean, their fans in New York are just livid over that situation. But I know we got to close up our show here, our live portion anyway. We'll continue this on our OT portion here. We can't give it to you live, but definitely tune into it on tomorrow when you get a minute. Click on the same link. We'll give you the OT portion, talking baseball, trades, talking NBA. We're going to even try to squeeze in a little college football if we can in the OT portion, so you don't want to miss that. Also, stay tuned for our posts on fantasy football. We're going to start getting that out there. I've been getting some emails and messages in regards to when we're going to send out the information for our fantasy football league. So stay tuned. I'll be trying to get that out here in the next week before our show on next Tuesday. So definitely stay tuned for that information as well. We'd like for you guys to compete with the experts and see if you guys can hang with us. So stay tuned on that front. Join us on next Tuesday again for our live portion. It'll be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're getting right into the heart of training camp come next week, so you don't want to miss our NFL and our college football coverage. Stay tuned. Good night, people.
Stay classy, San Diego.
JQ. There it is. There it is. We are always excited. Thank you, everyone, for listening live. As we get ready to kick it off in the OT portion, that's what we do. So we're the 2 minute. Well, I was on the 2 minute warning. All right, fellas, let's kick it off. We're still talking some baseball talk, and it's interesting, Rob, you were talking about Tula Whiskey from the Rockies, because I think he was even caught off guard by the deal. That's what he even said in his presser, that he didn't expect that to happen. He was a little blindsided about that. But I guess he's kind of in a situation to play for a contender from what you're hearing. But it's one of the situations, too, like you said, Rob, that I think the Mets fans are pretty caught off guard by that, pretty furious. They thought that they were going to have this situation to kind of be in the thick of things. So, interesting scenario as well. I do want to talk briefly about the Royals. They made some moves here. They acquired Johnny Cueto from the Reds. And the Royals also get Ben Zorbros from the A's. So a lot of moves happening. Are these kind of moves to kind of fence themselves in the home stretch? And, guys, hopefully I do want to mention the Hall of Fame that happened the past week with a lot of love to Pedro, to John Smoltz, Randy Johnson, big unit, making the Hall of Fame as well, too. So go ahead, Rob. I know you want to talk about the couple of moves with that, too, Royals. And JQ, stay on deck, too. Rob, go ahead, sir.
Well, I know JQ can probably give us more information on Johnny Cueto coming from the Reds, you know, how he can help the Royals. But one thing I have to say here, you know, if you look at baseball over the last 20 years, you didn't see small market teams making these kind of moves at the trading deadline. So you got to like that. I'm kind of, you know, happy to see that a team like the Kansas City Royals able to improve themselves. Already have the best record in the American League. And able to go out and acquire a couple of players that can really help them, instantly here. And normally at the trading deadline, you'll see teams like the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox acquiring all the talent. But now you get an opportunity to see a team like the Royals, who, like I said, a small market team in the American League. And, you know, there's no shared revenue in baseball like it is in the NBA and the NFL. So for a small market team to be able to go out and acquire talent, I'm personally happy to see that.
Yes, sir. Talk about your guy, JQ.
I can't. You know, I'm still sitting over here in mourning. I'm in my Cueto National League All-Star jersey. Not happy, but understanding the business of it. So I don't have no stats for you, but to know that they just got
you
an eight.
You got to take off your homer hat and put on your analyst hat.
It's too soon. But the Royals, absolutely, getting Zobrist and Cueto. So basically you get a bat to put in the middle of your lineup, and then you get an ace to put in the front of your staff. They're second in the AL on average, fifth in runs, first in the ERA, and then you get a bat, like I said, in the ace. Hey, but it hurts my heart. I love you, Johnny Baseball. I'm going to keep my jersey. I guess I'm rooting for the Royals in the American League because, that's where I am.
Gosh. Yeah, that sucks, guys. That's why I hate buying jerseys sometimes, man. As soon as you buy a jersey, jokers get traded or, I don't know, it's a tough thing, man. But,
put your own
jersey,
though,
so. Mm-hmm. It's a National League jersey, so. It's an awesome
Okay. That's good. Okay. Yeah, man. I think I was like you, man. I think All-Star jerseys, man, you can keep those going for a minute, man. Mm-hmm. I want to get the McCann jersey. I thought that was a cool-looking jersey as it is, man. But there's a couple of – I feel you in that too, man. But anyway.
I have
sad
a
times.
You can't talk to me about that.
America, we're gonna let JQ. JQ went on a high last week. Now he's kind of like – he's on a low here. So,
He's in mourning.
Anyway, good stuff, guys. Let's talk about some NBA. And I got to tell you guys, I actually saw Kobe's Muse. That was pretty interesting. If you didn't have a chance to watch, that was pretty interesting. I know Kobe's getting a bad rap. He didn't really show some love to his teammates, if you will. Didn't text him. And I know he's been going through the injury thing, so maybe that's why he's been rehabbing his injury, if you will. But some thoughts about this. You hear the word on the street is that the Lakers are going to play Kobe at some power forward. And I got to ask you guys, is this kind of a reflection of what's been happening with Golden State, kind of going small ball? Or, kind of what are your thoughts about this? And I'm going to hopefully perk up JQ as I ask this question. What did you think about this thoughts as far as Kobe playing power forward and kind of what's going to happen to Kobe and the Lakers as they continue to move forward for coming in this upcoming season?
Yeah, it's a little bit of that, and I'm sure he's going to play some small forward as well. But I think the biggest thing about it is just putting your best players on the court. So if you can get Kobe, Clarkson, and Russell on the court at the same time with Randall and Dan, you know, Hibbert, then that's the lineup for that's their best lineup. And to let Swaggy P come and do his Swaggy P-ness as the sixth man.
Swaggy P.
That's what they have to do. I think that's and Lou Williams. You know, they have a decent now set to come off the bench, so to speak, and Bass. But I think those are your five best players to start the game with. So I think that's more of a effect of that than anything else.
Rob, what's your thoughts, sir?
Well, yeah, you know when a team wins a championship, it's a copycat league. You see this in the NBA. You see it in the NFL. And you see the way Golden State was successful by playing Andre Iguodala at the four. And even to a certain degree, a couple of years ago, Miami Heat playing LeBron James at the four. The Heat wasn't an explosive offensive team, but that was kind of the start of teams playing a little bit of small ball. But Golden State, I mean, when Iguodala went to the four, I mean, the Cavs just could not keep up with them. And you're going to see some copycat teams in the league that's going to try this. You're going to see the Spurs do it, Kawhi Leonard. I think you'll continue to see the Cavs try to do it with LeBron James. At the four, and just recently, another of the team mentioned a wing player going to be playing some power forward. I'm kind of forgetting what team it was off the top of my head here. But, yeah, you're going to see this around the league quite a bit now. The team's going to try to play a little bit of small ball just to keep up with the Golden State Warriors, just to see if they can replicate what the Warriors were able to do.
Let's keep an eye on that too, guys, too, because, and you know, I think we'll see if this is kind of a changing of the guard for the league, guys, because, you know, I think there's a lot of trends that are happening right now, too. So, you know, maybe you're getting your best players on the court. You know, we'll keep an eye on that. I'm still a huge fan of, like, the old school, wherever you had, like, your starting five and your backup five. Maybe we'll come back to that. I mean, that just is, like, a better game, man. But, you know, I'm telling you, that's
okay,
I enjoy.
Okay, Coach Cal.
You had your backup five. I'm just saying, but, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen. But we'll see if it's going to have a changing of the guard right now, current state, as far as, you know, getting your five best on there. You're going to have different positions, you know, because basketball is basketball now, so I can have interchangeable parts. But until somebody beats Golden State, we'll probably see that for sure. Hey, we got about
one other
minutes.
Quick note I'll make. Just one other quick note I'm going to make real quick. I was listening to an NBA scout here on the radio just a day or so ago. Real interesting. Right now the NBA is going away from specialists. You know how you have guys that all they can do is come in and rebound a basketball, all they can come in and do one thing. Right now you have to be able to score the basketball to play in the NBA. And, you know, in hopes that you can do other things and play defense. But right now the way the league is going is you have to, in order to get on the floor, you have to be able to score the basketball. And if you look at the difference between Golden State and Cleveland in the finals, Cleveland just didn't have enough scorers on the floor. A part of that was due to a lot of the injuries that they had. But right now, in the scouting departments in the NBA, they're looking for guys that can put the ball in the basket. And you're going away from these specialist-type players.
Put the biscuit in the
good
basket.
Good call. I love it. Keep it moving, guys. Larry Brown, real quick, we gotta get to this point for JQ. He says that Greg Popovich nearly retired after his heart procedure. Excuse me. Any thoughts about that, really quickly? Really quickly on that, Rob. JQ, I'm gonna let you have the Big Ten and who's gonna start for QB for Ohio State. Okay, so just keep that in mind, sir. Stay tuned.
Okay.
Rob, real quick, Rob.
Kind of goes back a little bit to what we talked about with Steve Spurrier last week, how you just like to see certain guys in the game. I mean, Greg Popovich is one of the best coaches in the business. You know, I admire the Spurs organization and what they've been able to accomplish over the years. You know, no big egos, very unselfish. I like to see him stay in the game and glad that everything is okay. That he is still going to be in the game. I mean, he's not very entertaining like Spurrier is, but he's still one of these guys that I like to see stay in the coaching game, stay in the NBA for quite some time. Because, like I said, yeah, you have to admire what they've been able to accomplish.
Good call. All right, let's get it going, Rob. I know that JQ is really excited about the next couple topics. We got about 6 minutes here. So, will the Big Ten dismantle the Big 12 with the next wave of realignment? And then who's going to start at QB for Ohio State? So, JQ, you can pick either one you want to go with, and we'll kind of follow your lead. So, what do you want to do, sir?
I'll start with the first one because I think it's easy to talk about. I think the only team that can make that happen is Texas. If Texas says we want to be in the Big Ten, they make money, we make money, let's get this money together and go crazy, then they can get that. And then I think they can persuade Kansas to come with it only because Kansas has such a big basketball following. But they might have to take Kansas State because they do that. Don't take one school after the other to disrupt the rivalry. So that could happen. But if they could get Texas and Kansas, I think that's their only hope, unless Oklahoma and Oklahoma State come out the back door with something crazy. But that's not what I've been hearing. It's been more about Texas, which is correct because they have the biggest athletic budget. So that's what's going to happen.
Absolutely. I think wherever Texas goes, Oklahoma goes with them. I mean, I think they're going to stick together. They go together like peas and carrots. So wherever Texas goes, Oklahoma's going to follow.
But this is what you got to think about, though, is the Oklahoma legislators getting involved, and they've been involved in saying if you take Oklahoma, you got to take Oklahoma State, too, or we're not going to approve it. So keep that in mind. A lot of those states with those rivalries, it's the same thing where Ohio State was trying to get North Carolina out of the ACC, but they couldn't get them out of the ACC because they couldn't get Duke. It's that when you have that kind of system already set up, one school is not, a lot of times is not ready to leave the other one, and then sometimes you have the actual government get involved. I know that's the case in Kansas, and it might be the case in Oklahoma. Just don't forget about Team Boone Pickens with all the oil money that backs Oklahoma State. He's got money. So
and keep this in mind too. The Big 12, you know, is one of the weakest of the major conferences. Once they do decide to split, you're going to see the Big Ten, the SEC, and believe it or not, the Pac-12. All three of those conferences Pac-12. Are going to try to raid those teams in the Big 12 when it is time for them to split. Absolutely. And you got to keep in mind, just a few years ago, Texas and Oklahoma was very close to going to the Pac-12. So they're totally not out of the situation as well.
Wow. 3 minutes, JQ. Talk about your boy at who's going to start QB for Ohio State.
Well, I'm so ecstatic that Braxton Miller made the right decision, and I hope he saw what happened to Terrell Pryor and said, hey, that's not going to happen to me. Let me get a head start on this. That was the best thing for him to do. So it's true. So it's down to Barron and Cardell. I love Cardell. He's a tank. He's got a cannon for an arm. But JT played really well for Ohio State to get him to that point. And he's not as big, but he's more elusive. And I read another story where he was at a Nike Elite camp, and they say he was the best quarterback there by far. He was one of the better athletes, period. So when I read that, and I read the story about Braxton Miller practicing the wide receiver since May, and the person throwing him the ball was JT Barrett. So you're not going to go out with the guy that's going to be the backup. You're going to go with the guy that's going to be the starter that's going to be throwing you the ball. So what does he know that we don't know? So I'm going to go with JT Barrett.
Man, this guy, okay. You thought Cardell did all that stuff, but you're still going to go with JT. Okay. Interesting. All right. Rob, you got 2 minutes, sir. You got to wrap this up, sir.
Well, I mean, obviously, JQ's the big Ohio State follower, so I don't know if I could follow him up, but I'm a little surprised. I know Cardale Jones at the moment is a bigger NFL prospect, but Barrett probably is better suited for the Urban Meyer offense, and I can definitely see what JQ is going with that. But Cardale Jones got the size and arm strength. And at the moment, it's probably a bigger NFL prospect at the quarterback position. So that's going to be real interesting. But I can see Barrett definitely being a better fit for Meyer's offense.
Exactly. He's more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal. Rob, let's wrap this up. We got a minute. Let's wrap this up, sir.
Join us next Tuesday night, people, 11 p.m. Eastern. Pac-12 fans, stay tuned. I know we got a lot of listeners in the Bay Area. You definitely will get to the Pac-12. We'll get to you on next week. Join us on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Don't miss the show next week. Good night, people.
Let's go, Buckeyes. Got to get that win at Virginia Tech, please.
JQ, I want you to work on a little outro, too, sir. We'll get you having some fun part, too. So maybe we'll get you for the oath here, something like that, too, sir. So stay tuned, man. I know Rob, and we enjoy that too, man. So let's keep it going. So, all right, fellas, man, what a great night as well, man. Had fun. We'll see you next week as we continue talking sports with 12 men. Be good, guys. Have a good evening.
All right, man. Holler at y'all later.
Good night, people.